I'm good. So anyway, I don't want to go there too long. And it's time to close up. So he says, you know, even when we were with you, we commanded you, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Wow, some of you guys that own businesses, guys are you know, slackers and they're getting a paycheck. Maybe some of you guys are thinking, man, if I can get away with my job just being a slacker or catching a nap for a couple hours because nobody's around, you got the wrong attitude. You got the wrong attitude. Well, we hear that there are some who walk in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. And busy sounds good, right? We should be busy. We've been talking about that. But busybody means you're so busy in everyone else's affairs. You're trying to be lord of their lives. I think the psychologists call it codependent. Your life really doesn't have, you can't find any value in your life unless you're running someone else's life. That's codependency, right? I can't imagine, as much as I have to reach out and to help and minister in this small church that we have here, that if I tried to get into other people's business, into their matters, I'd be overwhelmed. There'd be so many fires that I'd get, you know. You guys know me. I don't bug you guys. I don't dig into your lives. I have enough just with those that come to me that says, hey, help me in this area. I'll let the Holy Spirit do all of that. You know, you guys help one another, build each other up, pray for one another, do all these kinds of things, and don't meddle. I guarantee you, your life isn't in that much order that you can start finding your fulfillment and running someone else's life and telling them how to do it. And it's a strong command. It's disorderly. It's out of place. It says, in the name of Jesus, I command you. Listen to what I'm saying here. Get out of other people's business. Leave them alone. Let them live their lives. You run your own life. Is that strong enough? Or I'm going to shoot you in the back as you're running. Is it getting the point across? Okay. That's how strong he's saying this, see? And there's so many of us that feel like we have to run other people's lives and manage their lives and tell them, you know, the answer was in Romans 12. Look on others more highly than yourself. Consider them as more important than you.
Wow, I'm so together.
But don't grow weary in doing good. And if anyone doesn't obey this word in our epistle, note that person. Don't keep company with him, that he may be ashamed, not to count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It's a brother in Christ, but you know what? Don't join that camp. Don't camp out there with that person like that. You know, rebuke them, exhort them. They'd be ashamed of having that kind of attitude. And but not but treat him like a brother in Christ. May the Lord of peace himself, Jesus is the Lord of peace, give you peace always in every way. Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And of course somebody tried to pass a forgery across, so Paul started with his eyes bad and whatever else was going on in his life, he put a little note there of his own with his own hand so that the forgeries wouldn't keep going on in his life. Okay, closing. The fig. I forgot about the fig. I'm going to see my parents again, by the way, here shortly. The Lord just really put on my heart something, and it was how I could honor my parents. I you know, as a young man, you know, half my life has been spent in Maryland and 1,500 miles from all your family. You know, and it's like you feel, gosh, did I let my parents down? They didn't see their grandchildren get raised, and this, my brothers and sisters all stayed, you know, sort of stayed there, And you know, you just have this sense of, man, did I rip them off? And so I was thinking of how I could pay honor to them. So my mother always made this strawberry fig jelly preserves, and there was this fig tree, and it seemed like they kept trying to kill it, kept going back, and at their old house. And before they moved, to their assisted living, my mom, I guess the fig tree to find my mom. And, you know, it was out. And the pecan trees to find my dad. In fact, the last half of his life was from falling out of pecan trees and breaking his leg and breaking his ankle. And he's, you know, and he's always picking pecans. He loved to watch the football games and pick pecans. And we'd always get a big bag of meat, you know, the pecan meat. And I love pecans. So those are the two things that define them. So I took a sprig of a fig tree out of the backyard. I went over, they'd actually already sold the house, moved out. I just went over there and got the fig sprig, and I pulled a little pecan sapling out of her backyard, and I brought it to Maryland. And of course, the pecan, I'll give that story first. The pecan tree, I tried it twice. It just didn't make it. But Pat and I were about to file for divorce because we couldn't decide on what kind of wood floor to use. You ever get to that place, you know, but, you know, I just, come on, Pat, it's the end of the year. I want to, you know, we've got a little money. Let's do it now, you know. And 4 months have gone by. I said, well, I don't know. But anyway, she did a lot of research, though. We put the pecan floor down. It was like I was in the backyard, and I was just thinking about how to honor my parents again. And the fig tree was surviving, and we'll put pecan floor in our house. That'll be the answer. And it settled that. We're still married, so see, you know, the Lord worked through my dad and the pecan thing anyway. See, but the fig tree, I brought it back on an airplane. It's all closed in. Of course, the leaves all die and wither up, you know, when you're bringing stuff back. And I planted it. And the Maryland winter is not like a Texas winter. So it went through the winter, and it's just a little stick about that big, and it was all the way into like May, June. It was still a little stick. You know, it didn't have a leaf on it, and I was just, oh well. And lo and behold, like in 2 or 3 weeks, it started, something green popped out, and boom. And there it is. I guess the first year, it didn't produce figs, but it just started to grow. And then Josh got the dog, Austin. And, you know, we'd bring Austin over, and there was a lead chain that we'd put on the clothesline so he could sort of run a little bit. But you know what, dogs, you give them a line, what do they do with it? If there's anything they can wrap themselves around, well, the fig tree. He, like, ripped every leaf off of it. He tore all the little sprigs coming off of it. The bark was ripped. It was back to a little stick about that long. It was all ripped up and tore up, and I just... Oh, bless his heart. But here's the fig. That thing's, the next year, it just, you know, and I'm going to have to start trimming it and chopping on it because it's going to be getting so big, and it's just loaded with all these figs. And there's a moral to this. We're Christians. We've been planted. And we're going to, our lives are going to bear fruit. They have to. He who began a work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. And you know, maybe some of your winters have been long and you've had some dry seasons in your life. Maybe just circumstances, you know, a dog's wrapped his chain around you and he's just squeezed the life out of your trunk and ripped all the leaves off of your life and it just doesn't seem like there's anything there. It's just ripped up and scarred and everything else, but it's still... It still came forth. It still brought fruit. And I guess that's the message. You know, God, you're stewards. You're his stewards. He loves you. He wants you to just abide in him. He's going to produce fruit in your lives. Whether you're 10 years old or 50 or 75, 90 years old, God can still produce fruit in your life. And just trust him and abide. And just love. He loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that... I can look forward to figs in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.